In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes when I'm preparing my sermons, I look for specific quotes from the fathers of the church or from the teachers of the church. And the quote this week was so long, I wanted to take the whole thing. It's Father Hopko's sermon. And it's very apropos to things that have been going on recently. And I just want to comment before I read Father's sermon. The Lord has done a marvelous thing this year. And I'm speaking specifically of when we look at the events that are swirling around us this past year, we've noticed a lot of violence, a lot of hatred, things that went on like most recently in Charlottesville in Virginia with that awful killing that's gone on and the racial tensions and just have exploded around us. I don't think any of us could miss it. But following on the heels of that, you notice what the Lord allowed to happen. The disasters. After all of the hatred and the violence that erupts around us, these awful disasters. Why? Well, look what happened. It took our minds off of hating each other to helping each other. The Lord said, here, do something that's worthy of being called a human being. Help your brothers and your sisters. Love one another. Very apropos then today are these words, and I'm just going to read Father's sermon. Anyone that doesn't know Father Tom Hopko, he was the son-in-law, of course, of Father Schmemann, that great teacher of the church of blessed memory. And these are his words, and they are the epistle and the gospel for today. So listen carefully. It is hard for us to live faithfully as Christians in our time and our place. If it was so today, imagine how difficult it was for the new Gentile converts in the Greek city of Corinth. They lived in a culture that was notoriously immoral and had themselves worshipped pagan gods before their own baptism. There was so much corruption all around them that they were surely constantly tempted to return to decadent ways of life. The outrageous problems that St. Paul had to deal with in his own congregation, and which he addresses in the epistle today, provide evidence that many of those converts still lived in worldly as opposed to holy ways. If you ever start to think that our own generation has invented new sins, just read his letters to the Corinthians, and you will see that there is nothing new under the sun. In the epistle today, he speaks of being a clean people. He was not speaking here of cleanness according to the externals of the Jewish law, such as following kosher dietary practices. Instead, St. Paul called the Corinthians to turn away from everything that hindered their full participation in the healing and blessing of humanity that Jesus Christ makes possible for all who share in his life. Those who live according to their calling as God's temple and people must abandon both the sins that we associate with the body, that is, sexual immorality or gluttony, and those sins that we associate with the spirit, such as pride or hatred or prejudice. That is not due to some kind of legalism, but instead because all sins are incompatible with true holiness. As those created in the image and likeness of God, our calling is to become partakers of the divine nature, to be transformed by a personal union with the Lord, such that his holiness becomes our holiness. We are to become living icons of his salvation to the depths of our being, and to live out that eternity in every thought, word, and deed. That high calling ought to bring all of us to our knees, for we all fall short of it in one way or another. If that is not clear, all that we have to do is to pay attention to Jesus Christ's teaching on loving our enemies in the gospel lesson today. It is fairly easy to do good to those who do good to us. When we help someone with whom we have a good relationship, we can usually expect something positive in return. But it is quite hard to do good to those with whom we do not have a good relationship, and from whom we can realistically expect nothing positive in return. We may wonder why the Lord gave us such difficult teachings to follow as those we find in today's gospel lesson. Be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Love your enemies. Do good to everyone. Lend expecting nothing in return. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Christ himself tells us that this is the difficult path of true holiness. No matter whether we live in Corinth, West Michigan, or any part of this world in which we live, we all struggle against the spiritual diseases that make it so hard to forgive, love, and serve those who have violated our kind. We have these struggles because we have turned away collectively and individually from the truth that we are made for a common life in the image and likeness of God. We have forgotten that it is our very nature as human persons to be united with one another in love, as are the members of the Holy Trinity. When St. Paul wrote of Christians as the temple and the people of God, he was pointing to the fulfillment of our calling as human beings by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our collective lives. It might be fairly easy to obey a set of religious or moral laws about this or that form of outward behavior, even though personal experience teaches us that we fall short of them. It is an entirely different thing, however, to acquire such purity of heart that we love, give, and forgive as God does to the ungrateful, the selfish, and to our enemies and nuisances. So instead of patting ourselves on the back that at least we are decent to those who love us, we should instead fall on our knees asking for mercy and strength to love those who hate, disregard, or simply ignore us. Of course, it is much easier to recognize the flamboyant sins of the people of Corinth than it is to recognize how we ourselves fall short of perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It is much easier to point our fingers at individuals and groups today who celebrate beliefs and behaviors contrary to the way of Christ. Yes, we like to praise ourselves and condemn others because we want to let ourselves off the hook, perhaps by saying that at least we go to church and lead fairly decent lives. Maybe that would be enough if we were part of a religion that called only for superficial decency and did not condemn self-righteous judgment. But that is not the case for Orthodox Christians. God really does call us to become holy because we are his temple and people by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our collective life as Christ's body, the church. We are to be merciful, perfect, and holy like our Heavenly Father. What is true of God by nature must and can become true of us by grace. That is what St. Peter in his epistle says when he means when he says become partakers of the divine nature as we participate in the eternal life of our Lord. So when we refuse to show mercy and love towards difficult, annoying, and inconvenient people from whom we expect nothing in return, we turn away from our calling to be God's holy temple, as surely as if we bowed down before an idol like the pagans of Corinth. For when we do so, we simply serve ourselves and disregard the calling that the Lord has given us all. To be so transformed by the mercy of our Father in heaven that we exude the same mercy to others. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish and loves even those who reject him, even those who killed his son, and the rest of us who reject him so often in how we live. Still, he bestows countless blessings on us all. And through the Son, whom he sent out of love for the world, he has made us sons and daughters in our baptism. How tragic then that we so often choose to make the same mistakes as the Corinthians and to live in ways that are really no different from the unholy and corrupt practices so dominant in our world. How sad that we so often prefer death to life, pain to joy, and the hollow victory of self-exaltation to the blessedness of growing in communion with one another and with the Lord Himself. And if we as Christians live this way, what hope is there for a world where helping our friends and cursing our enemies is just business as usual? Jesus Christ is certainly the hope of both the church and the world. He is our hope because He brought a new, blessed, and saving way for human beings to relate to others and to God. He died and He rose again for those who rejected Him, those who nailed Him to the cross and thought that He was demon-possessed. He not only healed His own people, the Jews, but He showed the same mercy to Gentiles, Samaritans, and even a Roman centurion, a foreign soldier who occupied His homeland. He was at times very frustrated with the disciples for their lack of faith. They largely abandoned Him at His arrest and crucifixion. But even on that cross, His words for them were, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And Christ still appeared to them after His resurrection, even though they had abandoned Him. And He blessed them to be leaders of His church so that they may show His mercy to the world. Our Savior is the embodiment of mercy to everyone, for He came to save and transform the entire world, and especially every human being. Even more amazing is the truth that we are able to still participate in Him, to be nourished by His body and blood, the medicine of immortality and holiness in the holy mystery of the Eucharist. And yes, we really are able to become merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful, by being filled and transformed by His grace. We become living icons of the divine love and light, even in our most difficult relationships. In other words, what we do in this temple today is a crucial dimension of being His temple and people, of receiving the strength and power to turn away from all the sins that frustrate our growth in holiness and personal union with the Lord and one another. We are enabled to become like the Father by receiving the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then let us live as we have received, cleansing ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, and making holiness perfect in the fear of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.